Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you could please open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 5. It states, "And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried, so that I may rebuild it." Yo, if you heard God speak to you, would you listen? Or would you just turn away? Yeah, come on.
The cross was heavy, beaten to a pulp already. Betrayed by 30 pieces of silver, but he knew it already is deadly. Nail after nail, the Savior yells. News now a dark night. Christian veil, the Christians bail. They thinking that the mission failed. For the one blinded, the word now in braille. Genesis 3:15 is now unveiled. So Father, why have you forsaken me? Awaken me. Now heaven holds a vacancy. Cause you prepared a place for me, a refugee. So I listen, cause you're risen, defeated, sent it. I'm on a mission to spread love, not division. Forgiveness, repentance. Cause you paid my life sentence, so I won't be timid. Let your light shine, so I might be imminent. Rebuilding these walls, I gotta try. Cause since we met, I'm in a different world. Like Jack and I. Remind yourself that you can get the side.
Life is about you. Life is about your plan. Amen. Your plan is much longer than our plans. The longest we've known of man can't come nowhere clear. And it's such a mystery, Lord. And so, Father God, I ask that you bless, amen, to let this be all of you and none of me, because we want to learn and understand your mission for life, your reason for life, your plan for life, and where you are going with this. And why do we face all these different challenges? Father God, I ask you, bless my tongue be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and upon those that listen. Lord, touch and bless the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened, that they'll know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints. Bless them with the spirit of wisdom, Lord, to understand things from your perspective, Lord. Bless their understanding, Lord. Grant them the knowledge of your will, and bless them to grow closer to you, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're beginning something new. Well, not new. Today is new for me to teach during the week and share a little bit about myself. You know, I've been in the ministry. I've been a minister since 1986. And it's been an interesting journey. I've been a teacher for the most of almost all that time. And one of the things that person must understand, in Ephesians 4:11, God calls some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, some apostles, some prophets. I'm not a prophet. I know prophets, but I'm not one. But it has always been upon me. I guess you would say it inherited from my grandfather, who was a teacher of the word. Even though I didn't get a chance to understand all that he did and knew, and now as time has gone by, I really treasure that. I was blessed to receive his books, which helped me to understand that Christianity was a little more than what meets the eye. And that is the goal of this message, this training day. The training day is based on a concept that I drew from a Chinese minister that was on the planet from 1900 to 1940 in China, had received the gospel and ran with it. And in his part of his name was Watchman Nee. And one of the things about him is his books back in the 70s and the 80s, some of his books were primary teaching material for young ministers in training. And, you know, we tend to read material, particularly when you're in school. You want to read enough because you don't really have time to analyze it. So you read enough so that you'll pass the class. Okay, let's be real about it. But then the expectation is that you will go back later on and do a real analysis. And God expects that with his word. You know, the Bible, you know, it's amazing that in both the Old and the New Testament, which is a testament for those of you that are new to Christianity, testament is pretty much a legal document, an agreement between God and man. There was an old agreement, and now there's a new agreement. A lot of people struggle with that. But that is part of what training day is about. I'm going to help you get through that. What I ask for you, if you don't understand something, I'm going to give you an email address at the end. And every fifth Tuesday, when there's a fifth Tuesday in the month, and I believe it might even be one this month. No, it's only going to be four. I'm going to answer questions. Because, and that's one of the things I remember when I was young in Christ. I had a lot of questions. And I can tell you now, if you belong to a church, you need to go to Bible class. You need to go to Sunday school. It is not a ritual. It is not something you do because they do it. But if you really, this is, you got to think, the Bible and Christianity and what you need to learn is above the college level. And where a lot of people come short at is that they never get past first grade. They never get to the first grade. Too many of them don't. The percentages are too high. And that's because they think religiously. And this is one of the things about life. How you think is how you're going to be. The Bible, it says in Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And one of the things you have to understand about Christianity, whenever you hear the word heart, you have to cross-reference it. It means spirit. It means your deepest part of your inner man. The things we're going to be talking about that later on, that you have to understand that you are a spirit. And your thinking capability, you have a mind, will, and an emotion, and emotions. And you live in the body. If you've ever gone to a funeral, you notice that they leave, the person vacates the body. They still around. Okay, now where they are, I don't know because I don't know the person. But the reality is, you're here temporarily. Now, I'm going to begin my primary base scripture for training day is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. And I don't know, hold on, let me catch this up with you. Because, you know, as I was saying, if you think religiously, you're going to receive revelation religiously. If you think in terms of righteousness, which means right standing with God, which means you're on the right path with God, and God help you get, you're going to receive on that level. If you want to limit what you receive, you're going to receive limitation. But think about who you are dealing with. We're dealing with a person called God. He has more than one name. And the first name actually in the book of Genesis is El Elohim. Later on in the book of Exodus, he told Moses, I am Jehovah. And it's more than a name. It is a title. You have to understand, there's some things you need to understand. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And the Hebrew, what we know as letters, are each part of what of the figure that you would see has numerical value. So their system of communication is different than what we know. It's similar in that each word that comes out of a person's mouth, the sound that it makes is based on the length of time that particular sound comes out. I know it sounds like I'm getting deep, but I want you to understand, this is the whole point of this teaching. You got to think now at a different level. At the end, I'm going to give a person who hasn't accepted Christ an opportunity to receive Christ. Because, as I was saying, this is not religion. Religion is based on man's comprehension. Nowhere in the Old or the New Testament did God ever tell anybody to start a religion. What God is king, king of kings, lord of lords. What his expectation was is that men, God would teach men, and men would teach their children. And there was teaching. Now, what is this teaching all about? Okay, let's go to 1 John. I'm going to start with verse 1. And it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now, this is the key scripture. I want you to write this one down and remember it, because you're going to hear a lot of reference to it. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, the problem, if you think on these, this is what I'm talking about. If you read this religiously, you're gonna come away like I know people that. Now, what I've just read to you is in the King James. I want to read it to you in another version, the NIV, so it's a little simpler, but it says the same thing. And it says, how great is the love of the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. And we will be, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in verse 3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, this is another thing you have to understand about the Bible. The Bible is not written to the world. It's not written to unbelievers. It's written to those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So what he is talking about, when you think about this, when you talk about son, you think about anybody's son that you have met, it gives you a clarity that there is a father to that son, even though you've never seen the father, but seeing the son. So son of is manifestation of. See, you want to get, and stick with this. If you stick with this program, you're going to understand some things. Think about God. Let's think about God. He is omniscient. That means there isn't anything that he don't know. And that also accounts. He's omnipresent. Now, and he's omnipotent. That right there exceeds man. You know, I think about at times men with PhDs and how most of them with PhDs don't believe in God. You can be the men with the highest and the men and women with the highest IQ on the planet. The one common factor you will find almost with every one of them is they can't conceive God. Now, if the smartest people with the highest IQ cannot conceive God, that tells you, one, man did not invent God. Even though the people tell that lie, that's not the case. Man can't think that high. He would not come up with, man would not think in terms of eternity because he has no reference to it. He can't see as eternal. See, and you're going to find that out through different events in the Bible. That the Bible is a history book, but it is an accurate history book that God certifies. The Bible is the only book on the planet that's ever been written that have told of future events to come, and they came exactly as it said. For one of the primary references is Jesus Christ. If you read in Isaiah chapter 6, 7, 9, 53, 54, you will find 600 years before he set foot on the planet, it says how he was going to be born, where he was going to be born, what was going to happen to him, how he was going to die and be resurrected. Now, that's not possible with man. Man don't conceive information and revelation at that level. Now, you know, they try to say they do. I'm not going to even get into some of the people that they claim know the future because they ain't told nothing yet. I mean, we know right now what time it is. We know, for instance, another reference is, since I've been a Christian for over 40 years, and ever since then I've been hearing about the cashless society. Now, you're talking about going back in 1976 when cash was rampant. Now let's look at society. You go into some of the major grocery stores now and some of the other stores, and if you don't have a card, then, well, you can't transact. And it's going to be a cashless society. We know the details of events that are going to go down. One of the objectives of this program is I want to reach out to the millennials. Millennials are a different group. And the reason I reach out to them is because I heard a professor on doing what is called a TED Talk on YouTube. And one of the things he said that caught my attention is you hear all these negative thoughts about and words about millennials, but we created them. Now, we had good intentions. I mean, technology is not a bad thing. Having life easier, working smarter, not harder is not a bad thing. It's just that what comes with that is the discipline of life. Because one of the main themes of the Bible, the main thing that God tries to build into our character, is how to walk in love in every situation. And that is by far a lot easier said than done. When you look at today's climate, the point of that is, now, going back to 1 John 3:2, and it says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I want to go to another reference, and that is 1 Corinthians 15:49. Would you flip over there with me? And I'm going to do a couple of these. It says, for as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I'm tempted to go a little further, but I'm going to read verse 50. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit corruption. Now, let me break that down for you. First, we're born, and you come out of your mother's womb, you're made of flesh, okay? Now, the person that has gone before us that have made the full transition is Jesus Christ. He's the image of the heavenly right now. The magnitude, now the number one reason why love is so demanded of us is because of the amount of power that we're going to have full access to. One of the things, I'm glad, and I knew it was going to happen, that I'm not the only person teaching on this particular issue. As a matter of fact, I know one particular person that, Chuck Misler, who recently passed, he was an engineer, and he has a teaching, still on YouTube, I believe, called Beyond Space and Time. Now, when I listen to him, I shake my head because I know a lot of people can't get beyond the dough, let alone space and time. You need to think about this. First off, let me point this out. The end of the world comes 1,007 years after the next major event, which is called the rapture, which is going to be soon. In my humble opinion, we, the church, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are receiving right now the final notice. Now, nobody knows the exact day. And this is the thing. People throw the baby out with the bathwater. Jesus did say, listen to what he said. He said, no man knows the hour or the day. And people throw out everything with that, as though it can never be known. And yet he went on to say, you know the seasons, you as it was in the days of Noah. So there are reference points to let you know, because God is not interested in losing. He wants as many to be saved, to be delivered, to come to him as possible. So he's not trying to trick people. He's not trying to, it's not something you have to guess about. The Holy Spirit, he said in John 16:13, will tell you of things to come. So if you are paying, the thing is, we have to pay attention to God, because God thinks on the billion level. We think on the right now level. God thinks on the billion year level. We think on the right now level. God thinks about you when you are, as Eddie has said, you're going to be like Jesus. Now, in time, you got to go back and you got to look at some of the things Jesus did. Now, what Chuck Misler does, and those of you that are engineers can understand this. I just heard something today on that same issue, even though they didn't know it. How much energy, when Jesus walked on the water, how much energy that took. I mean, we think the miraculousness of it, and it was miraculous. But he was just out there wandering. He was strolling on the water. Now, mind you, this was before he was resurrected. See, Jesus, if you go back and you look at Jesus, don't get lost in this. Don't get into no battle. I'm not trying to teach a new doctrine. I want you to understand that, let me say it like this. Outside of your body, you are more dangerous than you can imagine, and that's the primary reason people wind up in hell. Not because they're bad, because at some point we're going to talk about a good guy. At least it would have been publicly thought he was a good guy. He wasn't a murderer, wasn't a thief, you know. But he was a decent person, and he's in hell to this day. Been there 3,500 years. Bible has a record of it. But the point of the matter is, let's lay it out for you. How he handled God's money told God what he would do with full access to power. Now, you got to understand, this is what your life, what you do, I don't care what your level of life is. It does not matter what your level of life is. How you are handling your life tells God what you would do with full access to power. You have to understand, you have to really take a look at what we are and who we are. But we're going to get into the details of the makeup of man. Because you got to think on those levels. Because bottom line, you know, people are surprised that we wake up each day and the rapture hasn't occurred. But, you know, and that's going to be a while off. Because one thing that's holding it off is people are, I see it. I get requests to join people in prayer on a daily basis. More people are praying. Judgment, when you go back and you study the Old Testament, typically comes when they start ignoring God. Because then Satan could walk in the door. And that's the other issue. Why does Satan exist? Why didn't God just take him out from the beginning? A lot of moving parts to this thing that people just look at. I brought this up to a person who was a religious person, and I asked them that question. They gave me every answer but the answer. They didn't even come close to answering that question. Think about it. We are dealing with an omniscient person. If you got plans, if you have an objective, how can we not perceive that a person who is omniscient and omnipotent, that has a full, complete understanding of our presence and our future, and exactly what is going on, how can they not have a plan? Think about this. I mean, it's detailed. And because it is so complex, the Bible, that's why the Bible's so thick. If it was simple, it'd probably be one chapter, 30 pages, and that'd be that. You know, I bought a product the other day in one page. And it basically said, you figure it out. You know, one page, and I did. But, you know, at the same time, I would it didn't look that simple. But eventually I did. They put one page with life page. Listen, things we overlook. If you hold your hand up in front of your face, you're looking at a mass of individual cells of a very large variety that you are controlling. You're controlling them. I know you think it's autonomous and it's automatic, and that's what scientists tell you. But listen, if you've ever seen a 4,000-year-old corpse that hasn't been well kept, it's a pile of dust. All these cells will lose their energy, which is you, lose their ability to maintain their order, which is happening with you. See, you have to understand. We got to go back. Let's go right now. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And you got to see creation. Matter of fact, go to Genesis chapter 1 first. And I want to go to verse 24. In verse 24, and it says, and God said, let the land produce living creatures to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, each according to his kind, and it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and the livestock and their kinds, and all the creatures that move along, and God said that it was good. Now, just something distinctly, let's look at this. It's in verse 26. Now, in verse 26 is where, listen to this. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. He created him, he them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, I want to go back and I want to read that in the King James, because there's something it says. The expression, this word. Now, there's a difference when you say, and God, in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth out of the earth. Now, don't just fly by that. Sometimes you have to stop. Now, there's reading the Bible, and there's studying the Bible. After you read it, and you should read it more than once, because most psychologists will tell you it is on the seventh time that you begin to get some really accurate revelation. Now, that dominion that he gave remains today. Now, that is one of the things that you have to understand about being a human. That scripture is saying God is not in control. Man is in control. And until God takes back control, and that won't happen until Jesus Christ is ruling from Jerusalem, we're in control. Now, somebody said once they turned the Bible, the word Bible, into an acronym, and they said basic instructions before leaving Earth. It couldn't be said no better. But the complexity of it, you know, if you don't understand the mystery of the Bible, which is revealed by God to man, you misunderstand a lot of things, which is why we have religions. Not only do we have religions, we have varieties of religion. That's because men don't agree on everything, and they don't understand the magnitude of their nature. The other thing to remember is even though we have dominion, we are still subject to God. And that's another primary that you need to write down. Man is subject to God while he is on the earth. That's why you can't fly. But that's not the only reason. When we get into how this stuff came about, how it got all out of whack, you know, why isn't life perfect? It will help you see it, because the Bible is the only book that tells the whole story. Even those that copy from the Bible, I'm not going to even get into those belief systems. they copy from the Bible, and that's because the Bible has an authenticity that no other book can match. Like I said, it can tell the future, but it has an established accuracy of past events, so much so that events that happen in the Bible are established by other cultures in their histories, particularly the Egyptians. They recognize the deluge, which we know as the flood. The flood, which occurred, which created the Grand Canyon in America, about 5,000, 6,000, going on almost 6,000 years ago, is an established event. It's now been established by scientists who study erosion and concluded that the only level of water that could have created the Grand Canyon could have been the flood, because the Colorado River, which runs through the Grand Canyon, would take another 10 million years to make the Grand Canyon. So the man said it was 10 million years ahead of schedule, and that's not possible. And the only, again, like I said, but there's other evidences of the Bible, of the events. All this is recorded in the Bible, in the first five chapters of the Bible, first six chapters of the Bible. The first six chapters of the Bible, you get the creation of man, the fall of man, and the destruction of man in round one. Okay, it covers about a 2,000-year history period. And I understood them. I could understand them because everybody, now we have a Bible. We have 66 books of the Bible, and there are a few Bibles out with 72 books, and I can tell you those extra six books, they add some history, but they don't tell you about really how to read. They can only verify what's already been told. You know, there are lots of books out there. I run into very few people that have read even the 29 books of the New Testament, let alone the entire 66. And it's sad, because all that's for eternity. Christianity is for eternity. Most of our lives is based on some people finding out. I just read about somebody today. They dead at the age of 40-something. I'm 69. They 40-something. They gone already. But then now they are into eternity. All I can hope for is that they took the deal that God offered. Now, I try to help you understand that we are a complex creature, very powerful creature. There's no way I'm going to be able to do that in no one teaching. So the best thing to do is to go to where all the trouble began, and let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And that's something else I want you to see about the creation of man. Because that's very vital. Because if you remember, God made the earth. The animals came up out of the land. I want you to note the distinguished difference here. And this is Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And it said, the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then man became a living being. I'm going to tell you something you probably never heard before. If God had not made a body for this first man, he would have created another God equal to himself. Now, I'm going to say it again, because I want you to get what we're talking about. If God had not made a body for Adam, the first man, he would have made another God equal to himself. And even when I get people debate that, the fact of the matter is God can't make less than that. That's why I say that outside of your body, you are more dangerous than you can imagine. Man is a God, small g. Small g. Small g indicate an authority. Large g always indicate a creator. That's the boss of the boss. All the way through the Bible, you know. One of the problems we have is we have the Bible in English. If you read in the Hebrew language, you'll find these distinguishes. They come up front. They're easy to spot. And you can see when it's talking small g versus large g. See, because I've seen pastors get in trouble when they would refer one pastor teaching something on the same lines in the 90s that I'm saying right now. Maybe he was just ahead of his time. But he was basically persecuted because he said that man was a god. I knew right off the bat he was talking about a small g. He was talking about, because people did not hear what he said at first. They rejected what he said at first. They did not hear everything else. They didn't even try to hear everything else he said after that. They lost it. Yet at the same time, God is illustrating his power. You know what miracles are? Miracles are overthrows of satanic government. Miracles are overthrows of satanic government. Miracles are overthrows of satanic government. See, you got to understand the complexity and the simplicity of this life. Okay? God created man. Man is a God-class creature. Now, you know, I'm into racing cars, and they have a car called a top fuel car. Now, I can drive a stock car, no problem. I don't even want to get in a top fuel car. I mean, the vibration alone. I mean, if it's a tremendous. We're talking about going a difference from 500 horsepower to 12,000 horsepower. It is highly unlikely that you would take a brand-new person that have never driven a car and stick them in a top-fuel car. It is even really unlikely, if you're smart, to stick them in a stock car. You would not give a 5-year-old the keys to a car. So when God created Adam, okay, what the information that you have available, now Adam had the information within him. Because that's where it all come from. It come from the Spirit of God. Okay? It come from the Spirit of God. It's there. Even in you now. If you have received Christ, you have God in you now. And that means everything God knows is in you now. But just as I would not give the keys of my car to a 3-year-old, God only gives up or allow a person to experience his power as they mature. Because you've seen what it do to people. I've seen people do it. God do one miracle, use a person to do one miracle, and they run out and start a miracle ministry. And that was not God's intention. And you know how I know it wasn't God's intention? Because that was the only miracle. Nothing else happened. That's when you get into people faking stuff, because nothing else happened. They had to try to make up some stuff because they out trying to sell a brand of miracle. When they really this is the key, one of the key factors. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. You want to keep this in mind because it should be the foundation of how you deal with life, and particularly how you deal with life in your relationship with God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear, reverence the Lord, and depart from evil. Evil is anything that's against God, that isn't the path of God. God is thinking about you 15,000 years from now. He's thinking about you with full access to his power. Now, let me kind of give you a revelation of what that power was. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. I want you to see something. I know I'm going all over the place, but I'm just trying to get you to get a foundation on who we are. And it takes a while. Like I said, if it was simple, it would have been one page. But you got the entirety of the Bible. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, I was watching the History Channel one day, and they claimed Jesus was beamed up and that Jesus obviously was an alien. So they did read the Bible, but this is the thing. They didn't ask God about it, but they saw something. Let me try to get you an understanding. This is some of the things that Chuck Missler and some of the people that understand power. Think about this. Have you ever tried to lift up a person equal to your weight? Okay, I'm 220 pounds. If you try to lift up 220 pounds, you're resisting gravity. Now, Jesus, on an average, I would say, was probably about 200 pounds, solid muscle, okay? Now, for him to propel up into that cloud, that's a tremendous amount of energy. And if you can manage to focus that energy at any one point, that can become a very destructive power. So much so, and I got time. Well, so much so, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. I want you to see something. See, now bear in mind that I'm just scratching the surface of this. I want you to understand that the reason it's called Training Day, because you are God man learning to be the God man that God called you to be. Let me tell you where you're going with this. We got an event called the Rapture coming up, and at that point, all the Christians that are dead going to come get their bodies that's in the ground. Listen to the complexity of what they're doing. Some of them been dead thousands of years. They're going to reassemble that dust themselves and put it on. It won't even have blood in it. Jesus right now don't have blood in his body. They're going to assemble all those molecules and put it on. And it will be perfect. It won't be old and smelly. It will be fresh and brand new. They're going to take their bodies, and then we which are alive are going to be caught up to meet the Lord. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can go read that if you want to. But think about that. Don't think religiously about that. Think about what is actually occurring. The dead in Christ going to rise. Them people are not sleeping dead. I mean, you can go to the Book of Revelation and they at a party. They enjoying life. They ain't no telling what they doing, but they ain't like them still. Because they have a spirit. And they're not going to get into that right now, but they're learning some things from watching us. Okay? But think about that. So we run through this and we think religiously because we only thinking like this. If I be good, I get to go to heaven. If I be good, God will give me some stuff. If I be good, you know what? Even all that relates to you being able to manage the power of God while in subjection to him. It's all about you being able to manage the power of God while being in continual subject to him. The challenge is that Satan always tried to not get you, to get you to not be subject to him. That's the purpose. That's why one of the reasons he exists, which is primarily the reason he exists. He's a training tool. He don't serve no other purpose. He really don't. He's out here. God ain't just, listen. You're not earning your way to heaven. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not earning your way to heaven. You're not worthy without Christ. Let's straighten that out. You're not worthy without Christ. Without him, you just couldn't do the job. You can't because it's too complex. You're dealing with a person, Satan. Satan IQ is about 1,000 times yours right now. He has full access, you don't. Okay? There's things he can do, you can't. The only reason he don't dominate you because God won't allow him to because he's given you a greater authority. But for you to understand what that is, you need to be trained. The preparation, this is the first phase of training. Your second phase of training will begin during the millennial reign of Christ, in which you will have the power. You have the fullness of the power. Where do I say we going? Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You know, the first pastor I had said, you need to read that Bible, read that verse, stop right there. Make a decision. I'm either going to believe this or not. It says, now get this. It says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. What happened? Let me tell you what happened right quick. There was a war in heaven, Revelation chapter 12. Satan tried to overthrow God. Bad idea. It just amazed me. As smart as he is, it made him dumber, which you see happen to people now. Pride, the Bible. Now, think about this. When you say you got your pride, don't say that, because I'm gonna tell you, if you reference it in the Bible, you run it in a cross reference. You got them Bibles that put the word pride everywhere in there. You won't find nothing good about pride. Pride is trying to be something without God, trying to be somebody without God. And that's what got Satan in trouble. That's what got this, you know, sadly, I have to say inevitable that it was going to happen to somebody, because in the end, in reality, nobody else is going to be totally, completely perfect but God. But we get to make decisions. We get to make decisions. The difference that we, between us and angels, is because we are born out of a woman's womb. We make an error, we get to correct it. We're God-man. Angels make an error, they don't get to correct it. That's it. So, he was a bad example, but how the earth became formless and empty, and darkness was over, how it became formless and empty, when Satan got kicked out of heaven, when he hit the earth, it made it formless. It obliterated. He hit it that hard. He hit it that hard. He got threw out by an angel named Michael. I was in a discussion the other day about a car called a demon. And I told him, you know, that's a dumb name, because demon and dummy mean the same thing. I never liked that name. Almost, they wanted to make it into an argument. I said, well, Satan got kicked out of heaven. So demons ain't all that powerful as they make y'all to think. You know, they on the weekend of things. They're really dumb because they got kicked out. We going to heaven. They got kicked out. They're trying to keep you from going. So now here's another magnitude of power. You know, if you took all the nuclear arsenals on the entire planet, all of them, Russia, China, India, America, everybody that has nuclear weapons, and told them to line them up and fire them at a specific location altogether, all of them. We talking thousands and thousands of nuclear weapons. If they all launched all their weapons at one single location on the planet, they would not cause the earth to be formless and empty. It'd make a big hole, but they could not totally obliterate the earth. You, however, outside of your body, if you, by yourself, could just go up in the air and slam down fast enough, hard enough, and do more damage than that happened, you could obliterate the earth. I know that sounds crazy. You probably never heard that before, and it don't make sense to you. But if you keep paying attention, you're going to realize, like I said earlier, that is the reason that people go to hell. Not because they bad. Because, listen, one of the baddest people I knew was the person that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. His name was Paul. And, Paul was the Hitler of his day. And he ended up writing two-thirds of the New Testament. So it ain't about good or bad. It's about being submissive to God. It's about being submissive to God. So, now that we're done with the intro and I'm down to these last few minutes, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you really need to, because that's the only way you're going to get into God's heaven. But not only that, you want to be able to understand this power that you have, and you want to be able to want it to be established with God that you're willing to learn that and that you're willing to be subjected to Him. And it begins right there. So if you have, if you decide, you don't have to fully understand this, but you need to do this by faith, and God will give you the revelation that you need. So pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am lost. I confess my sin to you, and I ask you to forgive my sin and to save my soul. I believe with all my heart that you, Jesus, did die on the cross. I believe they placed your body in a tomb. And I believe you rose again on the third day, just as the Bible tells us. I trust you, Jesus, as my Savior this very moment. Come into my heart and save me. And I thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. I want to give you an email address right quick, and that is warrior8priest@gmail.com. I'll be using that right now. That's warrior8priest@gmail.com. And I'll just send me an email, one, to let me know you're listening, because I need to know who's listening. Just say hi, thank you, appreciate you. And like I said, I'm collecting questions, and probably next month or whenever, I may just take a day, or depending on what the question is, and answer it. Okay, so I'm starting with this right now, but the next time I speak, which will be next Tuesday, I want to pick up with a lesson that I'm already teaching, and I invite you to listen in, because I'm talking about a controversial issue, and that is prayer. So with that, I thank you for listening. I look forward to your comments. I look forward to your questions, and I just thank God for this opportunity. And gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today, Lord. I ask that you bless and season the hearts of each and every person that have listened to it. Lord, I ask that you bless as only you can, and I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, God bless. See you next Tuesday.
it's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin' or action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by his children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. That love, I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I'm on the heavenly plug.
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back.